Jazz FM. Listen in colour.
I'm talking with David Little here at Jazz FM. Drummer, record company impresario. There are many strings to your bow, or sticks to your drum set, it should be said. David, welcome.
Thank you.
Have you flown in from Northern Ireland or the northern part of Ireland? Where do you actually hail from originally?
Quite close to Belfast. I'm about 25 minutes from Belfast, out in the country, County Armagh. Yes, I've just come in for a few days, check out a few things.
Country bumpkin.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I'm from a little... I was going to say I'm from a little... village, but I'm not even from a village. I'm
Hamlet.
I'm way out. Yeah, just a road.
Is the sea nearby? Is it a nice vista?
Actually, no. That would be nice. Though at the same time, Ireland is such a small place. You know, you're only a maximum of probably 45 minutes to an hour from the ocean. You know, so quite small.
I'll start off with a semi-controversial question. Do you see yourself as Irish or British?
I see myself as both. Actually, I mean, certainly from. You know, from the island of Ireland. I'm from Northern Ireland. I have a British passport, and you know, I certainly have, you know, benefited from certain things which you would consider, you know, British. But I definitely see, you know, the roots, you know, going further back as Irish as well as Scottish as well. I mean, my family have come from all different parts, as have most. But yeah, that's kind of a difficult question to answer, but normally I would say both.
Difficult question to ask sometimes as well, I think. Yeah. It's a familiar story. You know, you're born into a musical family, and I guess you were exposed to it right from the very earliest point where you could pick up those drumsticks, or was it something else that you picked up at first?
I mean, I always wanted to play drums from I was really young, maybe 3 or 4, and there's quite a lot of classical music in the family as well, so that the classical thing was quite a big factor, a mixture of classical music and folk music. So I mean, everyone in the family has been classically trained on a stringed instrument, and I was going to learn violin like everyone else, and there wasn't any places left at school, and I came home with a cello. So that was when I was about 8, and I mean, I was classically trained on cello right up to I was about 21. I went to college for that, but it didn't have the same sort of connection with the cello as it did for drums. And my parents got me a set of drums shortly after, kind of on the condition that I would keep sort of formal training on the cello, which I'm glad is, you know, it's an interesting route. But if I had have been more formally trained on drums, maybe I'd play better. But I think I'd play a bit differently and approach music a bit differently. I'm not entirely sure, but I certainly don't regret, you know, I don't see it as wasted time.
Did you spend time listening to the great drummers like Billy Cobham and Jimmy Cobb and people like that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I only got into jazz when I was 18, so relative late starter. And the first drummer that really got me into jazz was Art Blakey. I mean, that was whenever I heard him. It was the first person playing the drums that kind of inspired me to actually want to go and practice on a, you know, on a serious level. I always played the drums, but I just kind of played whenever I felt like it. I played in a couple of rock bands. It was kind of odd. Cause it was kind of the opposite. Somehow I never connected the idea of, like, you know, I'm sort of, you know, told to practice cello and learn these pieces and, you know, do these, you know, recitals and all this. But I somehow never really connect. I never thought, well, maybe I should take some approach with the drums and I get much better at drums. I never thought of that. I just kind of played them. And then when I heard jazz, it was just, you know, it was, you know, so beyond what I could do. And that was a real challenge.
You like the challenge?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen videos of you dressed sharp like Art Blakey, but you're missing the cigarette hanging out the mouth.
Well, I was one of my generation is the last to play in bars where smoking was allowed. I mean, whenever I was about 20 or so, that was kind of the last year of it. And I'm going to say I'm kind of fortunate to have experienced that, because although it was, you know, terribly bad for your health, there was something about playing a very small room and, you know, very smoky atmosphere, and just it was just a different kind of thing. I'm not saying, I mean, it's better now, of course, but, you know, I did experience that for about a year, and then the smoking ban came in. Because I mean, it was different. I think in the Republic, it came in first, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, came in earlier, yeah.
So in the north, it was still, you know, you could still smoke whenever I went down to Dublin. You couldn't.
Yeah. Glad to see the back of it myself. Used to come in smelling, stinking after DJ sets and stuff.
Yeah.
So you've actually played and are playing with an old jazz messenger, in Jean Toussaint. Or is it Toussaint or Toussaint or Toussaint? I'll never quite get the name right.
I said Toussaint.
Toussaint.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Jean for about 6 years, and it's quite a nice story. I heard about Jean whenever I first got into Art Blakey, when I was about 18. I knew he was American, but I didn't realise he lived in London. And then when I found that out, again, this is in the MySpace days, which, again, my generation is kind of the generation that really used that. I mean, I met so many different people from around the world and forged so many relationships and collaborations that have been quite long term over MySpace. You know, people like Suado Kinch here, Jean, you know, people in New York. And because it was so easy, you know, it's just you add somebody, or I can't even remember how it worked. Like, you added somebody, they could check you out and hear what you were into, and you send them a message.
That's a sad indictment of MySpace, isn't it? We can't even remember how it works. That's how over it is.
Exactly. But I wrote to Jean anyway, and I told him I was in Belfast, you know, and I'd love it if I could play with them sometime. And a couple of years after, we worked out something, you know, or I got a gig that was kind of, you know, suitable for him, and he came over. And, you know, it was great. You know, he's a great teacher, but in a very non-verbal way. And he makes you feel like you're on that level, which obviously, you know, I wasn't, and I'm, you know, still I'm not. But he doesn't make you feel like you're sort of, you know, three generations below and sort of learning it still. It makes you feel like you're on that level, and I think as a result that makes you play much better. But I mean, he sort of teaches the same way as Blakey taught, where it was kind of, he didn't sort of say, you do this, you do that, you're doing that, you know, unless it's something sort of really, you know, if you're doing something really wrong, obviously, you know, anyone will say you got to change that. But I just really like his approach to the music, his passion and his power and his, you know, soulfulness behind it. So I've been working with him, and actually my label is bringing out his album in February, which is really special for me. Yeah.
You see him there, uphold him as a jazz messenger with Art Blakey and a legend, and now you're putting out his album.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. It is.
I actually used to live on the opposite end of the road to Jean Toussaint, and on my way to the post office, I'd regularly hear him blowing and practicing from his crouch end apartment.
Because I used
to live just at the other end of the road. I've known Jean for a long time myself, and it's great that he's involved. I mean, you said your generation a couple of times. How old are you?
I'm 29.
29. So, yeah. I mean, not only are you an accomplished musician, but you're running your own label called Light Records. As if playing and touring isn't enough work, and being creative, you're a businessman behind all this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of, I mean, I love the business end of it, I always have, but it certainly has come from, again, I keep saying my, you know, generation, but the internet was really, really changed everything, you know. And I think from about 18, having the internet and my MySpace and YouTube and, you know, checking people out and sort of having access to it, and now it's even better, you know, because, actually, I was going to say, you know, with, you know, Twitter and everything and Facebook now.
Depends if you're getting good reviews or bad ones.
Yeah, exactly. But that kind of put me in a mindset where, you know, all the information is available. You've access to everything. You've access to things that you didn't, you know, have. I mean, if, you know, if I wanted to get my music on your show, you know, I can go on Jazz FM website and find out, you know, who the presenters are. I can, you know, I can hear, listen to your show. I think, oh, that's maybe suitable. Maybe I'll send you a tweet, you know. Maybe I'll write to you. Maybe I'll get you. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, you know, if you think maybe, you know, 20 years ago, I'd probably have to come to London, you know, to sort of, you know, filter through the sort of mesh of you know, correspondence. But, yeah, so that kind of put me in a mindset. And whenever I was ready to release my first album, I mean, it wasn't really on the level of getting signed to a record label, so I thought, well, I'll put it out myself. Really just thinking of it as a name, as a brand, and kind of because it looks better as well to have a label on your, you know, or sort of a logo on the back of your album. So I did that, and then I put out my second album, and then some other albums I'd played on, you know, the guys had said, well, you know, you've done it before, so, you know, would you release my album? And then about 4 years ago, got distribution, and the catalogue has grown fairly quickly since.
And you're going to put out one of the albums of the year for me, possibly for the last 5 years, the new Jason Ribello album called Anything But Look. What a tremendous piece of work that is. Did you actually play on that as well?
No, I didn't. I've worked with Jason for about 3 years, and he plays in one of my groups, and he plays in my last album. And we were touring with my group, kind of more hip hop soul group. I mean, I'm doing that as well as sort of more straight ahead jazz. So Jason plays in that band in the this kind of hip hop group. So we were touring at that time, and he had said he was working on an album at that point. I'm pretty sure it was going to be much sort of smaller thing. He was even thinking of being a solo piano for a while. And it just sort of grew. And then, I was talking to him, and it was really just as simple as, if you're interested, like whenever you get to the stage and it's, it's finished, let's have a chat. And I think he just liked, my kind of ethos, behind the label, which is, very relaxed and just, I'm a musician, obviously. And I understand what a musician wants to get from a record release. And, for me, it's just kind of something I do over here, like in addition to, playing myself. So it's not as business a setup. It is a business, of course, but it's not as kind of as formal and as strict as setup. Every release is very different. The structure of every release is it's different, and I think that kind of appeals to people like Jason and John, who have reached that stage of their career where they just want to get the album out, and they want to they kind of know what they want.
Those guys were the young lions. They're more like the elder statesmen these days, aren't they?
Yeah.
The British jazz scene. Even by proxy, as Jean Toussaint is now, basically a British jazz artist.
Jazz FM. Listen in colour.
Your recent album called Interlude, we've spoken about folk and about Art Blakey and straight ahead jazz and the challenge and stuff. You've made an album which is kind of leaning towards neo soul and hip hop, which is interesting. How did you first become accustomed to liking that sound?
I've always been into to that kind of music. In the 90s as well, the mainstream had a lot of really great hip-hop and soul, not so much now, but the Fugees, I grew up listening to that kind of music. I wasn't very kind of left field in my tastes at all. I was just a kid listening to what was in the charts, really. The charts were much better then, in my opinion, than they are now. And
I'm with you there. There seemed to be music in the charts back then, but it seems to be a distinct absence today.
Yeah, exactly. But no, once I got into my early 20s, I started listening to, Jay Dilla, Slum Village, Q-Tip, Mos Def, people like that. And I got into that more and more. And I wanted to do an album that kind of reflected that more, as well as having the jazz influence. But it's interesting, because I'm a drummer, people are kind of surprised that there's not really more drums on the album. It's just grooves. There's no kind of jazz drums in it, I do approach it with more of a feel sort of approach. And I don't think I would play that way if it wasn't for the jazz background. But the jazz influence, really, the jazz end of the album comes from the chords and the fact that, jazz musicians are on it and, solo on it. Every track has an improvised solo on it. But yeah, it is essentially, hip-hop, neo-soul. It just kind of grew from a sort of an idea, sort of a short idea. I wanted to do something more along the rap lines, and was going to feature Soweto Kinch and a couple of American rappers, and it kind of just grew, and I wrote some songs and featured some singers, and it became more of the neo soul thing.
So you're like our Questlove.
Yeah, well, that would be an amazing
syncopated fat drums, sophisticated jazz licks, but essentially, just a groove.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know that you saw this as more of a studio project, but you're bringing it out live. You've been touring it around. Did you do this in LA? You did it in LA. How did that go down?
It was great. Yeah, we did a gig in Hollywood, and I featured all the singers. There's quite a big cast on it. The main singer on it is Rhea. who's on the track.
Is that your sister?
Yeah, which is my sister.
Right.
And my mum also features on the album. There's four rappers, Sweato Kinch, Home Cut, and then a Northern Irish rapper called Wild Man. He's got quite an interesting approach, and then a rapper from Brooklyn called Ill Spoken. So in LA,
it was a great name, isn't it?
Yeah. In LA, it was a smaller group. It was just Ill Spoken, my sister, and my mum, and I met up with some LA sort of jazz musicians who sort of straddle in the session world as well. And it went down really well. It was a little sort of nervous leading up to it because, I've no experience or, background of, in playing there. There was some radio support of the album, and some press, but it's such a massive, vast kind of world. I was sort of wondering if anyone would actually come to the gig, but, people came and it went down well. So it was cool.
And you're bringing this project to the London Jazz Festival in November.
Yeah, the project itself, like you said, it was sort of set up as a studio project. I wasn't even going to make a big deal out of it, really. It was just kind of going to be, I saw it more of an online thing. And when I'd finished it and I sent it to some people, the interest was pretty good. So it became a much bigger thing. And, we did a full press campaign. We even had it on Irish television. The HMV did a TV advert on Channel 4, so it really reached a big audience. And then once that sort of stage was over, it kind of felt like either now sort of bring out another album or try to tour it. And I tried to tour it, and it somehow worked. First gig we did was the band was far too big. We had about 12 people in the band, and it didn't really feel like everyone had their own kind of space to feature. We had people like Sweato Kinch only appearing on two or three songs. It was kind of a waste of talent, I thought. So kind of scaled it back. And what we're doing in London is going to be a smaller group. It's going to be Home Cut on rap and vocals. Joy Rose is going to be on vocals instead of Rhea. Rhea unfortunately can't make it. Jason Urbello's on the road with Madeline Peru. He's getting more and more busy, and once his own album is released, I think his own band are going to be out there a lot next year. So there's a great pianist from Leeds called Jamil Sharif. Connor, gonna have to edit this, but
it's okay.
Connor Chaplin. Connor Chaplin is on bass. We got Jean Toussaint on saxophone. My mom Anne Little is featuring as well, and Tom Harrison, great young saxophonist. So it's still a big group, but it's been scaled down to about six or seven now.
Squeezing into the Pizza Express in Dean Street.
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
Yeah, it's going to be good in there. That's a great atmosphere in there when it's packed in there. And
yeah,
I think you've got about 110 people in the band. Yeah. Great atmosphere.
I think it's going to be good because it's the music would lend itself to a lot of different venues, but it's an intimate sound. Although it's definitely more groove orientated, the jazz influence. On the live show, the soloists sort of will stretch out much more on the album. The solos are pretty short, so we do take more of a jazz approach, to the live show. So the songs are much longer, much more stretched out, much more kind of flexible, and I think that really lends itself to a jazz venue. It's gonna be fun.
Have you been penning or recording any new material for the next album yet?
Yeah, I just started the new album last month and written quite a lot of material for it. And it's going to be certainly a lot of the same influences on it. Got some good guests lined up. Can't really say, unfortunately, who they are in case they fall through, okay. In case they're listening, it's going to be pretty exciting. It looks like I'm going to be getting to work with some of my heroes on featuring different singers, as well as some of the members of the last group as well. Probably going to be slightly heavier jazz influence on some tracks as well. So try to work in more straight ahead. It's probably going to be a song that is just sort of a jazz song, piano, bass and drums. It was interesting because the first half of this year and last year, I really only was playing the interlude music, and I kind of missed... I love the music and I love listening to it and performing it, but I did kind of miss being a a jazz drummer, you know, having a very kind of interactive role, so I've kind of been getting back into that. So maybe the next album will have more of those influences as far as the drums go.
And you also do something away from music as well, with sort of talking to people from the industry about their perspectives. It's a little part of your website perspective. I found that quite interesting that you've still got time to, you know, transcribe interviews with the likes of Jean Toussaint, even Wynton Marsalis, I think. Was it Branford?
Branford Marsalis
made an entry on there.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get back on that again. It's just all time. I mean, transcribing those interviews, it takes so long, and especially when you get into, you know, an in-depth conversation with someone and you talk for half an hour, it's worth a lot and it's gold, but it takes you so long to sort of, you know, type everything up. And so that as a result, I have a lot of other interviews which I haven't actually transcribed yet. And there's some other people I want to talk to. I want to talk to slightly more mainstream people in the music business and get some interesting kind of views on. I mean, for example, I'm going to talk to some of the major record label managing directors. You know, people in Ireland who have, you know, got to know from running the label. You know, and just to get a different sort of view on that. And I think it's also kind of useful for other people as well. I would like to sort of expand the business end of it more, as well as, I mean, there's a lot of people I've been working with, different players. I haven't done one with Jason yet, for example, which is crazy. There's a lot of things I want to do, put it that way, but I just got to find the time for it.
I totally feel you on that editing and transcribing thing. I've still got a Gregory Porter interview that I've got to edit from 2010.
Oh, well.
He gets enough airplay anyway. Yeah, interesting talking to you, and it's some good reading on the site as well, on the perspectives side of things. The 19th of November, so Tuesday night, Pizza Express, the London Jazz Festival, David Little and Interlude. David, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and make sure as soon as that new stuff's ready to rumble, we shall be rumbling it here on Jazz FM.
Thank you.
Jazz FM. Listen in colour.